Hello. God bless you. Glad to be with you again on Gospel for the Glory of Jesus at KREJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley. Seems like it's been a long time since I talked to you, but I'm so glad to be here, and I want to bring to you today something dealing with our position in regards to what pleases God? What pleases God the Father? What pleases Christ? And we're talking about once you're saved. Now, we've been talking about salvation, how you're saved. John 17:1 says, talks about, you know what? Well, let's just go there and then we'll come back to Luke 12. Let's go to John chapter 17, verse 1. Let's find out. What is the real deal? What do we really need to do to please God and so we can be used in His service, so we can know how to act? Just put some act right in us while we're here on this earth. Some of us Christians don't know how to act right, so we got problems. we are schizophrenic, you know. We want to do good, but evil's always present. And right after we go up on the mountaintop and we end up in the valley again, we really act crazy. We just want to stay on the mountain and be blessed, but you can't get the bless unless you didn't deal with the mess. So right now we're going to talk about in John 17:1, Jesus is getting ready to get turned over to the Romans. And he wants the disciples to know what exactly to expect before he gets arrested. So he's trying to give them a summary, letting them know how much he loves them and how much God loves them. But one of the things he wanted us to know, and let me just read 17:1, 2 and 3 real quick, maybe even the 5, but because I like to teach from the scriptures. And I like the good news because it's almost like a commentary on the King James. Let's go with verse 1. It says, after Jesus finished saying this, and you say, what is this? Well, he's talking about them really believing and knowing about what it is to be his disciples and how plainly he had spoken to them. And they now said, well, we understand you now. You're not speaking in parables. Well, you know, they weren't the smartest and sharpest knives in the drawer at that time. They needed the Holy Spirit to really get them on the right side of the track. But that's a lot of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. It includes moi. We need to know that we're nothing without God and understanding His ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Way beyond it. We live in a life that is that we know is a mystery. So He has to reveal us the truth to us, because the world will lie to you. Okay. It says here, after Jesus finished saying this, He looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. Verse 2, for you gave him authority. That means power and authority. The ability to teach and to stand on what he knew and what he wanted to give him over all people, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. See, God the Father has already ministered to us and ministered to the people of that time, and even to us, before we have an encounter with Christ. He's already getting our hearts ready, and the Bible says he already knows who's going to believe and accept him anyway. But he gives everybody a chance. He strives with everyone to bring them. He doesn't want anybody to perish, as it says in John 3:16. So we realize that he has the same power, the same authority that the Father has, God the Father. 3. And eternal life means to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I'm going to stop right there. Knowing God, the Father, is eternal life. That is the good news. Christ came to show us the Father. And how the Father, who God is, and how He acts, and his feelings and how he, what he thinks about things, and how we should react to things down here on earth. And he says, and then he says, not only that, but and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. He's saying, Father, I'm trying to get them to know who you are by letting them know that you are my Father. And whenever he said Father, or Abba, or when he said Daddy, the word Abba is almost like our word for daddy, which is Dada. Abba is like saying Dada. That means you've got such a close relationship. A lot of men, they have babies, but they're not Dada. They're not fathers. They're just progenitors. They were just used like a sperm bank to have and impregnate a woman. And then they don't even ever provide any kind of spiritual or manly nutrition to their spirits. So they're not Dada. But the Father can be your Dada. Just like Christ, what Christ is trying to show you. And that's how Christ related to him. He said, my Father. And he said, when you pray to him, say, our Father. And people, they were still, at that time, they were still believing that God was someone to be feared and to stay away from. You know, you had a prophet or a leader, a spiritual leader who did all the talking for you, a priest or a prophet who came and told you what God wanted you to know. And the priest was the one that took what you had to God to tell God what you needed. You didn't talk to God. But now the Lord wants you to know that through the blood of Christ, the door, the veil has been rent. And now we have access to the Holy of Holies. We can talk to God anytime we want to. And he wants to talk to us because he loves us. He wants to wrap his arms around you and want you to hold his hand. And that's what it means to know him. There's a word that people use in the wrong way a lot of times. It's called, in the Hebrew, it's called yada. Y-A-D-A. And then you hear people saying yada, 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 yada. But really, it's describing an intimate relationship between a man and a woman. And I'll leave it at that. People have degenerated it down to saying something else. But with God, he's saying, when to know him is to know his heart. That God has a heart. He has emotions. He's a person. He's not an it. And he wants you to know that he wants you to relate to him as a father. See, Christianity is a relationship, God. It's about relationships. It's about us knowing God as our father, knowing Jesus as our big brother, in a sense. He's our Lord. In other words, he's the boss. He's the heir. He's the one that passes on all the goodies to the children, to the younger children. And so he doesn't mind saying, I'm going to give you what I got. And if you give me what you got, we ain't got nothing, but he got it all. So it's a win-win for us. Y'all ought to smile sometimes. Y'all back in there looking all crazy. I know y'all out there looking crazy. Anyway, so eternal life means to know you, to know God. Not just by saying a little prayer and not meaning it, but to come to the point where when you say that prayer, it's almost like reaching out for a lifesaver in the middle of the ocean, and you've been treading water for 2 days and you can't hang on any longer. And you say, Lord, save me. Father, save me. Save me. This is going on. There's nothing. Is it working? Was it recording? Just the screen just goes off? I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where I was.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the minutes. So, knowing God can save us, knowing that he can pull us out of the depths in the of life, he can pull us out of the muck and the mire, the quicksand that life can be, and turn us around and help us to turn around. Help us to know that we can turn around. Our lives can turn around. Our hearts can turn around. And that now we're living with a heart toward him and not toward ourselves. Not living just for ourselves, but we're living for him. Because when he saves us, he has bought us. He has bought our lives. We now belong to him. So it starts this process of getting to know him. And to get to know God is to know that you're going to go through some times where you're not going to even know where he is. He's going to put you in some situations where, or allow you to go into some situations, because he gave all of us free will, that you will have to choose him in regards to how you deal with the situations now. Before, you did what pleased you and how when you made decisions. But now, your decision making ought to be based on what would please God, what would please the Father, what would please Dada, what would make Poppy happy, so that I can know that I live the kind of life that's pleasing in his sight. I just want to please my Papa. And I know that if I please Papa, Papa gonna reward me, because he said in his word, he said he gonna give me something. And that's just like having a girlfriend that you never give anything to. She said, I thought you loved me. And then you said, I do. Well, you didn't buy me no ice cream. So I said, oh Lord, well, let me go, let me see what I can do. What kind you like? What part of knowing somebody and loving them is knowing if they like pistachio. You know, it's my wife likes pistachio. So I had to go get her some pistachio ice cream because I love her. So, and God loves us. And he provides all kind of opportunities and things for us and opens up doors we can't open. Shows us favor, lets us know we're his kids. And he can show us favor because we belong to him. So he doesn't have to treat everybody else the same. He treats us differently. But he also corrects us also. So Jesus here is pleading with them to know and understand. And he's talking, he's praying and talking to the Father for his disciples and saying, Lord, Lord God, my Father, please, please take care of him. Please take care of him. Now, with that kind of love, that kind of concern for us, let's go back to chapter 12 and find out what kind of persons we ought to be in regards to waiting for him. Because he is coming back soon, whether you're ready or not, here he comes. And I used to like to play that game growing up, hide and seek. You know, sometimes the Bible says he's hidden a lot of things in his scriptures for you to seek out. And when you seek him with your whole heart, that's when you find him. Problem is, a lot of us Christians not even seeking the Lord with our whole heart. We got saved, and next thing you know, we stopped the journey. We just said, hey, you know, let me just do it. If it feels good, do it. Hey. You know, live the kind of life they based on what the world expects of them. And the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 and 1 and 2. Place yourself as a living sacrifice. You know, put yourself on an altar and say, Lord, when you plunge this spiritual knife into my heart, please cut out everything out that doesn't need to be there. Because I know that all the good stuff is supposed to be in my heart. Cleanse me. Give me a heart of flesh. Take away that stony heart. Take away that rock hard, stubborn mind, that mindset, that human nature that is totally against the spiritual nature. So, Father, I thank you for that. So, knowing that, look, let's see what it is to be one who would be pleasing to God. 12:35 says, be ready for whatever comes. Dress for action and with your lamps lit. In other words, the Lord's coming back one day. Are you ready? Is your heart ready? Is your heart ready? That's what God is trying to get us to understand. Are you waiting for him with an open and loving heart? And it says, with your lamps lit. That means, you know, it says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Even when I go into Walmart, I'm going to let my light shine, let people know I'm a Christian. Many times people will call me aside and I'm in Walmart or 99 cent store and say, come, you're a Christian, aren't you? I say, oh yeah, I'm Pastor Todd. Oh, well, can you pray for me? So I'm doing church on the outside. Don't even get an offering. Amen, but that's all right. But you gotta have your lamps lit. In other words, always be ready to be able to say a word for the Lord. Always be ready to say something about Jesus. Because your words might help someone to come to know the Father as Dada. It says here in 36, like servants who are waiting for their master to come from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once or immediately. This is the Good News Bible. And then, you know what? One of the things that you really don't ever have to want to have to go through is going to someone's house and they're supposed to be waiting for you. Something happens, your plane is delayed, or your taxi is delayed, or you get a flat tire, or your battery doesn't, your car doesn't start up, your battery's dead, and you end up getting there at like 1 or 2 in the morning. And you thought they was gonna be waiting for you with some food, some fried chicken and whatever, and you get there and the lights are out. And you walk up on the porch and start knocking on the door. I'm country, that's why I say door. I didn't say door, on the door. Knocking on the door and nobody comes to answer. Everybody went to sleep because they thought you weren't coming, but they didn't realize you were still on your way. Well, that's what this bridegroom, this is what he's saying. He's saying, hey, you know, y'all better wait up for me, you know, and so I can get in the house, because they had to secure the place, because raiders and all kind of people who were bad people trying to break in your house. So they had it. But he said this, look at 37. He said, happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns. Now, you know this is talking about Christ. Yeah, I know this is a parable, right? Okay. I tell you, he will take off his coat, have them sit down, all his servants, and will wait on them. Wait means like being a waiter. He will serve them. He will start asking his and this is almost symbolic or metaphorically given to help us to understand the Lord's Supper of the Lamb. When the Lord raptures us home and takes us out of here, when we get there, if you're found waiting, if he comes back and you're waiting for him, you're looking in the sky, you're praying for his return, you have a heart that is really, really loves him, he's gonna show you real special favor. Can you imagine President Trump? Well, okay. I'm gonna just use him as an example. That he came to your house, and all kind of folks was out there just rioting and everything, and you opened up the door and let him in, and he got in the house. He said, "Oh, I'm so appreciative. Why don't y'all sit down and let me get the Secret Service to order you guys some pizzas and some steak and some lobster, because I know I'm really appreciative that y'all allowed me to, and I knocked on the door to let me in, knowing who I am." That might not be a good example, but you know what? That's why I'm praying for Trump, because he's making the whole United States great, because he's making all of us pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I hope they don't scratch that off. Anyway, but you know, the Lord is saying this. He loves us so much, and he appreciates you. When you show faith and trust in him, he would be willing to serve you himself like a butler or like a waiter. Isn't that something? Wow. When I read that, it just makes me just say, wow, what a loving God. He teaches us how to serve. You know what? I don't get up in the morning wondering if the sun is going to rise. I know it's going to rise. You know why? Because he's faithful. And he says one day the sun might have some, it's got a hole in it now. They said it got a hole in it and that the moon is going to turn blood red. There's going to be some problems coming. But right now, I don't wake up looking. I know that the Lord is going to make sure there's air. You know, and that there's the laws of the universe are still working. And so he's a servant himself. He's the greatest servant. The Bible says it. He's the greatest servant of all. So 35, it wants us to trust in the Lord for all our needs, constantly expecting his return. Gird our waist. That means to be ready to explain our mission and our testimony. Be ready for what he has for us to do. A lot of us, God asks, you know how you can know when God wants you to do something? It's usually when he asks you something, when he tells you something in your mind, it goes against your human nature, your nature. And you say, oh no, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But he's talking to you. He's trying to get your attention, but you don't want to do it because it's against who you are, who you think you are. And usually that's when he's talking to you. He's trying to get you to learn to obey. Trust and obey, mm-hmm. But there's no other way. Amen. To be happy in Jesus is trust and obey. That's the gospel in itself. So keep your lamp burning, brothers and sisters. Know that he wants us to be disciples who live moment by moment in expectation of his return. Hearts are waiting for him, eagerly watching for the master. You know, even it says if he comes, it's in 38 and 40, if he comes in a second or third watch, that means if he comes at midnight or if he comes at 3 a.m, be ready. He might. You don't know when he's coming. That's what he says. Nobody knows the day or the hour when he's coming, but he's coming. So be faithful and don't be unfaithful. I thank you. I love you. Keep looking up. God loves you.